Hello, friends. On today's show, they out here growing trees off 8 Mile. Also, the moose are migrating. And if you persevere, you're going to get your rocks. And we find out about teens inventing a salt fridge. Okay, look, it doesn't just chill salt. Well, you'll see. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
Well, with that, he's turning it on.
Yes.
Boop. Record.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me that I wanted to try the rum and find it.
It's been my pleasure.
It's quite refreshing.
See, I suggested that you try the rum and pineapple juice. You suggest to me that I should listen to Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, some of their other albums. Yes, definitely.
See, you say other albums like I would have any semblance.
I will send you a list.
Oh boy. Okay.
Or what? Just go to Spotify.
Okay.
quit being all over 70 and just
brutal.
Damn.
Bye, Brett. It was nice knowing you. Stab, stab, stab.
And with that, you are listening to Two Beers In. A show where I accidentally insult my co-host.
Who's paying for your drinks,
and
by the
while
way.
She pays for my
yes.
drinks.
I feel like it was all that accidental.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying, as I said, a pineapple with a coconut rum.
I'm your co-host, the hippest grandmother alive.
That's right.
That's right, Monica. And I bought you that...
There we go.
That pineapple and coconut rum drink.
Sure.
And I'm enjoying the same.
Yes. And look, there's Doug over there. Doug.
I got a Modelo.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's just out of ideas.
He's like, fine.
I didn't know we were doing something fancy.
We're not doing beer. See, that's the thing I said when we walked in to the bartender. I had said, yes, I would also like a pineapple with a coconut rum because... I either want to A, feel fancy, or be like a
diabetic coma,
or be like a teenager trying to sneak into who has successfully snuck into a tiki bar and is now trying to be cool and is failing.
That's very cool for 1953. Yes. What are we talking about?
We're gonna go get drunk. We're going to a tiki bar.
Yes.
Right.
Here we go.
Ooh, that's not. We're gonna start with Manischewitz.
Shoot.
Going to get a Mai Tai. No, it's casual.
So we've got four stories that we're going to be talking about today. But, Monica.
Yes.
Before we do that.
Yes.
Interview alert.
Did you hear that?
Not at all.
Interview alert.
I'm gonna turn it up a little bit. I'm going to hit it again.
Okay.
Interview alert.
Yes. Monica
yes.
went on another podcast last week, didn't you? Yes, you did. Didn't you get interviewed?
Yes. Yeah. Well.
Thank you. I'm looking at her like I'm giving the pleading look.
I've done a few.
Interview alert.
Yes. So.
Okay. So I was on a Round Rock podcast.
Yes.
Where I was interviewed about the various projects that I do for marketing and advertising.
Sure.
And then I was on a UT podcast.
Okay.
Down there at the at that very fancy building that they have, where we talked about ghost stuff.
Not at the
Driscoll.
Oh, at the Driscoll. Okay.
Yeah, we talked about the Driscoll.
Yes.
That was their assignment.
Oh, okay.
Was and it was supposed to be 45 minutes. It was supposed to be a 20-minute interview.
Yes.
And we talked for an hour and a half.
So are they going to cut that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, because sure. It was a class assignment.
Sure.
And no, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yes, yes.
Well, cool. Well, congratulations.
But, yeah, the Round Rock one was video as well.
Ooh.
And what is the name of that one? It's like Rockin' Hard or something. I don't know. It's something like that.
Rockin' Hard. Well, that's for Round Rock,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yes.
Because I was hoping it was for UT. Rockin' Hard, what's this about? I don't know. We've got notes for your for your project to make sure it does a little bit better. Since it was Earth Day a couple of days ago or yesterday or recently, I tried to stick to a Earth Day theme.
Yes, I was.
You led
I
me,
did the same.
And I continued
awesome.
The process, we hope.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first one, which is a sequoia forest in Detroit.
What?
Plantings to improve air quality and mark Earth Day.
Are these tree ants? Are they moving?
We'll continue listening and find out. So, on Detroit's east side, a bold environmental experiment is taking root.
Root.
Yeah, root. Yeah, that's always going to happen.
Cheeseball alert.
Arborists are transforming abandoned land into a unique urban forest, not with native elms or maples, but with sequoias, the largest trees on Earth. These ancient giants, capable of living for millennia if they don't get cut down.
Even in Detroit.
Yeah, even in Detroit. I mean, depends. There's gun violence.
Yeah.
But could reshape the city's landscape while offering a lifeline to a species threatened by wildflowers.
Wildflowers.
Yep. It's like elephants and mice.
Please don't let the daisies eat you.
So here's the idea. The Giant Sequoia Filter Forest Initiative, spearheaded by nonprofits Arboretum Detroit and Archangel Ancient Tree Archive, launched on Earth Day 2025 with the planting of dozens of sequoia saplings. Detroit serves as the pilot city, chosen for its abundance of vacant land, a legacy of population decline from 1.8 million in the 50s to roughly 633,000 today. Over 24,000 demolished structures have left thousands of empty lots, creating an unexpected opportunity for reforestation. We could become the greenest city in the world, said Andrew Birch Kemp.
Birch.
Arboretum's Detroit executive director. These trees will shade our neighborhoods, clean our air, and inspire for future generations. So why sequoias? So their size and longevity, they reach over 300 feet tall and live 3,000 years. Sequoias dwarf urban infrastructure. Resilience. Thick bark protects them from fires and pests, though climate change now threatens their California habitat. So basically the idea is they're moving it to a place that's less likely to have wildfires.
That's true, yeah.
Middle of Detroit.
Yep. They're rapid, even though there's still Devil's Night that happens.
Or if they ever win a world championship in any sport.
Sure. Well, that's Baltimore. So their rapid growth and evergreen foliage makes them powerful air filters, critical for Detroit, where industrial population and asthma rates are high. The saplings clone from two giants named Stag, the world's fifth largest tree, and Waterfall, carry a poignant backstory. After a 2020 wildfire, why do I keep doing that? Destroyed Waterfall's Grove, a genetic legacy survives. Its genetic legacy survives in Detroit. So the project hinges on community engagement. Archangel co-founder David Malarkey. The Larch. David Malarch.
The Larch.
Launched a tree school to teach Detroit youth to care for the sequoias. What an interesting initiative.
So they're naming them as if they expect them to come when they call. They're building a school for them.
Yes.
Are we sure these are experts?
Yes. We empower kids to take ownership.
Oh, now they're feeding them kids. Okay.
Yep. They grow trees in classrooms and plant them near schools. Camp emphasized the cultural shift needed. How can children care about global deforestation if they've never seen a forest? These trees are their birthright. So it's like, yeah. And it's also teaching them, you're going to plant something that your great, great, great grandchildren will see.
And cut down because it's now prime real estate
again.
Because
it's not important. Yeah. planted near former industrial sites and highways, the sequoias will combat pollution while testing urban adaptability. They're safe here, noted Kemp. No wildfires. Gosh. Moist soil and winter snow melt provide natural irrigation. As the trees grow, they will form protective canopies and serve as living monuments to residents for both
resilience.
Residents?
Not resilience. I didn't say residents. I said it wrong, but it was resilience for both Detroit and the Sequoias.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like Detroit.
Yeah, I would like for them to have tall trees.
I think this is a great idea.
And that is a place where my niece and my grandniece and my great-grandniece live. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
You should visit them.
Nah.
They have great food.
They do. I've been to the Greek. I've been to Detroit. There has been some good places. That is the place where we ate. Believe it or not, it was called Kung Food. It's an Asian place. Kung Food. Yes.
Seems very
is
PC.
It?
Kung wow. Food. Yeah. Let's talk about the Great Moose Migration.
Yes. Sweden's Great Moose Migration becomes unlikely TV sensation.
Mm-hmm.
A quirky TV phenomenon is back. Sweden's Great Moose Migration live stream, which follows herds of moose in real time as they journey from winter hideouts to summer feeding grounds, has returned to TV screens this week. Since its 2019 debut, the show's popularity has exploded!
Exploded!
Exploding moose! Soaring from 1 million viewers to a jaw-dropping 9 million.
9 million.
In 2024.
There's not 9 million people in Sweden.
No, but it's gone worldwide.
Yes.
Broadcast by Sweden's public network, SVT, the program uses 30 cameras to track the moose, called Aig in Swedish, across vast forests. Aug? Oh, Aug.
I know this
Aug.
Because when we were in our fraternity, I went to IKEA and I bought a moose for someone. And we would always go, ugh.
Okay.
So anyway.
And that's actually why we got 9 million is any TV you buy in IKEA only has that channel.
Only has SVT.
That's right.
So they track them across vast forests and snowy plains. So why the hype?
Why the hype?
Why the hype about moose? Most Swedes rarely see a moose, maybe once or twice in their lifetime, says the SVT producer Johan Erhag.
Yes.
This show brings the wilderness into people's living rooms, only safely. The migration itself is ancient. These roots date back to the Ice Age, explains wildlife expert Goran Eriksson.
Mm.
In winter, moose cluster in warmer areas before spreading out across Sweden's landscape each spring. The show's charm lies in its simplicity. Unlike fast-paced nature documentaries, it's slow TV. Raw, unedited footage with no music or commentary. Viewers only hear wind, bird song, and the crunch of hooves. Mm. People call it a window to the forest. They crave that calm, natural connection. With 300,000 moose roaming Sweden's woods, revered as the king of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, Doug, you lost that.
Yeah.
You lost that title.
You've been bumped.
The tree ant took it from me.
That's right.
That's it. The series taps into national pride while offering global audiences a rare meditative escape into the wild. No script, no drama, just moose being moose,
mm-hmm.
and millions can't look away.
Yeah.
Have you experienced slow TV?
Yes, I have.
What have you watched on slow TV?
I watched a ferry going between the fords.
Okay.
And I've also seen trains.
Yes, I used to like to watch the trains.
Yeah.
It is.
Despite Doug,
it is,
I watch it despite Doug.
Addictive.
It is.
Because you're sitting there going, okay, well, I've been watching this train now and going through the forest for about 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's something around that.
Maybe some
bend.
Cooler is going to be
yeah.
around that.
Yeah.
Crash. Come on, crash.
Yeah. That's. Maybe there'll be a pileup.
When I was driving
train,
through.
Train versus moose.
Yes.
Newfoundland, they had a big fancy moose fence that they had built across the island. And it looked expensive, and it had signs, you know, with the moose on it so they could see themselves. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there was an awful lot of moose talk on the radio. I was like, man, it's everything moose out here. And then, of course, I ran into a couple of moose, and I was like, oh.
Oops.
It was the first day of moose hunting season, though, so we both went our separate ways.
You're
very
right. You're cool. So I'm cool.
Apparently,
right.
They dread the paper, too.
So that, yeah. that we'll theme talk. Of northern exposure just cut out like crazy with the crack of a rifle.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they were like, I was like, ah, moose. They were like, ah, human. That was that.
They happened. Do exist. They do exist.
That happened to me twice up there.
Yeah. I know it's Earth Day celebration, but let's go to Mars, shall we?
Sure.
I mean, is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you have
provided I my suit
my GPS isn't connecting correctly?
Provided my suit doesn't allow my eyeballs to explode and for
yes.
me to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger going
right. or as long as we don't have to eat poop potatoes for dinner. That's the other.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. NASA's Perseverance rover hits Martian jackpot in rock bonanza. It was a rock. What? It was a rock bonanza. NASA's high-tech Perseverance rover is racing across Mars, which is like
is
2 miles
it?
An hour.
Is it?
Yeah, like a kid in a candy store. Scooping up samples faster than ever after striking geological gold on the rim of Jezero Crater. Since landing in 2021, the robotic explorer has been busy in Jezero. Or is it G-Zero? Jezero.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Jezero.
What? Yes. A dried-up lake bed scientists believe once held water. But its latest adventure on the crater's rim has been a game changer.
Has it?
The rover recently climbed to the crater's edge, where it discovered a treasure trove of ancient rocks unlike anything seen before. Up here, there are new and intriguing rocks everywhere, said Katie Morgan, Perseverance Project scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. It's all we hope for. It's all we hope for. And more. Witch Hazel Hill is a 445-foot slope littered with fragmented rocks blasted to the surface by ancient meteor impacts. Like, do they know it's ancient? It could have been just before they got there.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. These chunks, some over 3.9 billion years old, offer clues about Mars' earliest days. Shallow Bay is another one, a sample from one of the oldest rocks ever found on Mars, possibly reshaped by a meteor strike. And then water clues, layers of rock sculpted by flowing water hinted at Jezero's wet past.
Mm.
Mm. Perseverance has analyzed 83 rocks with its laser. Sampled 5 and studied 7 in detail. It's been a whirlwind, said Morgan. While the rover's discoveries are groundbreaking, there's a catch. NASA still needs to figure out how to bring these samples back to Earth.
Wah, wah.
A planned mission is to retrieve them ballooned to an $11 billion price tag, prompting the agency to seek cheaper, faster alternatives.
Amazon.
Yeah. We'll just send Elon.
Yeah.
No, wait. Sorry. Yeah, anyway. Crater rims, you got to love them, said Morgan. The team will use Perseverance data to decide where to drill next. Meantime, the rover keeps rolling, turning Mars' rocky secrets into humanity's next giant leap. No word yet on when which Hazel Hill gets its own national park sign.
Well, we don't need another national park sign,
but
even on Mars.
Yeah, but what nation?
That's true. Yeah.
It's not been claimed yet.
International park?
There you go. Extra.
Interstellar park.
Extra national park. And finally, the last story.
Yes. Teens win 2025 Earth Prize for refrigerator that runs on salt.
Mm-hmm.
200 are headed to hospitals to preserve medicine. I love how you give me stories to read with Indian names. Here we go.
You know what? I will do all the Indian names.
Oh, bonus
how
material.
About that? I will do all the Indian names.
No electricity, no coolants, just science. In India's sweltering rural villages, three teenage innovators have tackled a life-saving challenge, keeping vaccines and medical supplies cool without electricity. Their invention, the Thermavolt, is a portable
Thermavolt.
Fridge powered by an unexpected ingredient, salt. Mm-hmm. And it's already making waves in healthcare.
All right, here comes the names.
From classroom to real-world crisis. Here we go.
Here we go. Dhruv Chaudhary, Mithran Ladhania, and Mridul Jain.
Kusunai.
Jain.
All children of medical professionals in Indore saw firsthand how... Your meal is ready. saw firsthand how COVID-19 vaccines spoiled in the tropical heat during long journeys to remote areas. Uh-huh. We wanted a solution that didn't rely on power grids or expensive coolants. The fridge uses a simple chemical trick. When salts dissolve in water, they absorb heat, cooling their surroundings. But not all salts are created equal. After testing over 20 compounds, the team circled back to a ninth grade textbook revelation. Mm-hmm. Ammonium chloride chills contents to 2 to 6 degrees centigrade, or 35 to 43 degrees Fahrenheit, ideal for most vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Adding barium hydroxide octahydrate drops temperatures below freezing, perfect for organs, or not the human organ time.
Turns out the Indian names
musical.
Are the easy part.
Yeah.
Not musical organs or certain medicines. We scoured the internet, but the answer was in our basics. Laughs.
Chaudhary.
Chaudhary. Tested in local clinics, the Thermavolt,
Thermavolt.
Thank you.
Thermavolt.
Kept vaccines viable for 10 to 12 hours in indoors heat.
Dr. Pritesh Vyas,
who trailed the device, called it...
Yes.
Called it a game changer for rural care. Now the teens are producing 200 units for trials across 120 hospitals to fine-tune their design.
Mm-hmm.
Their ingenuity earned them the 2025 Earth Prize, which I think we all went for, didn't we?
Yep.
Right? And $12,500 to fund large-scale testing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's kind of a low figure considering
they
could have gone on Shark Tank and gotten a lot more.
Sure.
But then they would have given up rights and stuff. Yeah, well, all right.
Yep.
This isn't just a fridge. It's a bridge to better health care.
Yes.
2.4 billion people lack reliable electricity globally per the World Bank. Devices like the...
Thermavolt
could save countless lives in off-grid regions. As the teams prep for launch, their story proves sometimes the simplest solutions are the most revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired, their next challenge, making the
Thermavolt
available for every village clinic.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Availability, you know? It's
nice
to have things available, no matter the temperature, no matter the conditions that you're living in.
Yep.
You know what else is always available?
We are.
Yeah.
And you know where you can find us?
Thermavolt.
Thermavolt. Patreon.com/2beersin, where you can become a member, where we will give you extra stuff by you subscribing.
That's right. We've chilled them. We've chilled extra stuff just
in
for
the
you.
Thermo vault.
Yes.
And, yeah, we would love to hear from you, and we want to know what's going on with everybody. There was a funny moment that happened on Spotify that said, hey, two of these songs that you've played are copyrighted, and so we're pulling them down if you don't change it. And I went, darn. Well, let me go see how many people were affected by this.
Yes. And?
Yeah, we don't need to worry about Spotify when it comes to that kind of thing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Until you, as the
platforms.
There are plenty of other platforms. You've all found all of those platforms. So, yeah. you can also email us at twobeersin@weightlesspod.com, where you can throw some money our way on PayPal.
Yeah,
or Venmo.
Then you can buy Brett's drinks.
That's right. That would be nice. Really, that was my plan to do it, and then...
And then Spotify said, hell no.
Hell no. Okay. That's not happening.
What are you going to do?
So, thank you for listening to us.
By the way, we're at Barflies.
We're at Barflies. Oh, I forgot. I was wanting to jump to talking about... Talking about...
Interview alert.
Yes. I'll talk about that bit.
Okay.
On the Patreon.
All right.
I think... Some people will enjoy that. All right. So we're going to close, and this was your suggestion.
It was my choice for a song. I was looking for songs appropriate for Earth Day kind of thing. And this is a song I often reference on tour. As I'm walking people down Congress Avenue, I will point to the 7-Eleven there at the corner of Ninth in Congress.
Oh, yeah, there's one.
Ninth in Congress,
down.
And I will point out and I say, hey, longtime Austinites, if you remember, this is where our art museum used to be. Mm-hmm. Now it's a Talking Heads lyric. This was our art museum. Now it's a 7-Eleven.
You got it. You got it. So EK got very excited when she saw this suggestion because she loves her some David Byrne. And so do we all.
And this is called Flowers.
Flowers. So before I hit that button, the other button, not the one that I've been hitting, I have been your host, Brett Weaver, and I've been your hoats.
That was some good rum.
Man, you go 2 weeks without talking to anybody.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
And, you know, the last person I talked to was my sister Francine. So,
pray. No wonder your tongue has rebelled.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, nope. I have
not
been
doing that again.
I've been enjoying a rum, a coconut rum and pineapple.
Oh,
and she's still here.
Yep.
Yeah. I expected more, but it's cool. I'm your co-host.
It's a well-oiled machine.
That's right.
You get the good stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank God this isn't video.
Right.
Right.
That's coming.
I'm your old co-host.
Oh.
Oh yeah. As it's been brought up, Monica and I have also been enjoying a pineapple juice and coconut rum
and
beverage.
And the grump over there is Doug.
I'm Doug. I hit him with Della.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you for listening to us.
Yes.
And push the button and we'll talk to you next time. All right, here we go.
Nothing better.